Today's lesson is going to be about making wise choices. Now, I like the topic of the lesson because it kind of hits home for me. In that, growing up next to my parents, I was lucky to get my socks on in the morning. Right? That's a difficult decision to make. So, I was not the greatest of decision makers, and got to the point where I got so tired of making decisions, I just decided not to make them anymore. So, and I guess that's an unconscionable decision. But anyway, so the Old Testament provides a lot of valuable lessons for Christians, much more valuable than my life, that's for sure. And that's what's great about the scripture. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, the whole first 14 verses are really great. We're not going to read all of them, but we'll cut through some of it. Like 2, 3, and 4, they're talking about the Israelites in the desert, and they're talking about how they all ate the same spiritual food, spiritual drink, spiritual rock. But in verse 5, it says, "Nevertheless, for most of them, God was not well pleased. They were laid low in the wilderness," right? So these things happen as an example for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also crave, right? And then it also continues to speak in verse 11, verses 7 through 10, it gives the example of us as Gentiles, right? "Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and play, and they drank and they stood up and played. Nor let us act immorally, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell one day." All right? Verse 11, "These things happened as an example, and they were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come." So their bad behavior was actually as an example for us, right? Of what not to do, and not how to behave. So, very important to look at that, and to look at some of the lives of some biblical figures. Now, of course, we have one of my bad decision-making idols would be Lot, right? Lot. Made some bad choices, right? He was still righteous, but he made some bad choices. And also David, right? As famous as David is for his heroism and being a great king, made some dumb decisions, right? Some really bad choices, okay? So, Lot made a choice where to live. And as a result, right, he experienced war and kidnapping. You remember that? Abraham had to go save his hide, right? Oppression and torment. By the ungodly citizens of Sodom. But in 2 Peter, it says that chapter 2, 7 and 8, that his soul was tormented, right? And they needed to rescue Lot. He had a loss of all his possessions, the death of his wife, right? Incest. There's a whole host of bad decisions going on there. Okay? David chose to commit adultery with Bathsheba. Okay? From that choice, a lot of other problems happened. Death of an infant son, a daughter molested by a half-brother, a son killed by a vengeful brother, a rebellion led by that son who publicly shamed his father. Publicly, he's very much the this, right? Whose death brought David even more to me. So Lot and David really illustrate a great need for making wise choices. Okay? We're going to look today at some choices that greatly affect our lives, some suggestions for making wise choices, and what to do when we make the wrong choice. Because even if we're making wise choices, sometimes we get in our own way, but we don't exactly make choice. So what do we do in those circumstances, right? So if you don't mind, I'm going to take my jacket off. Course. Not a big crowd, so I don't need to be formal. So choices which greatly affect our lives. Now usually this comes at the end of the lesson, right? We'll talk about the importance of following Jesus and accepting Jesus. But that really is probably one of the first greatest decisions that you can ever make, right? Will you follow Jesus or not? Will you follow Jesus or not? Will you become his disciple? Right? Turn over with me to Matthew chapter 11. Alright? Chapter 11 and 28 and 30. Okay? Look at this gracious offer that's put out there by Jesus, right? You have read letter Bible, this is Jesus' offer. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Right? Hey, tired, you know, making bad decisions, bad life choices, life's got you down, you're feeling, you know, kicked around, whatever. Look at Jesus, where he says, come follow me. You know? It just gives you a sense of refreshment, a sense of ease, that somebody who died on the cross, right? Somebody who died on the cross, horrible, he said, I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart, right? He wants to be there for us. Yoke is light, okay? So this one, this decision will affect your life more than any other. And it's going to determine your place in eternity. You know, make no mistake. This isn't a brimstone and fire type lesson today. But make no mistake. If you don't make that decision, and you don't follow, and you don't come up front and be baptized, that it's not going to be a very good choice. You know, that is a decision that will affect not just your life here. It's going to affect your life for eternity. Okay, so be really smart and be really wise. When considering that decision. Alright? Don't lean on to your own understanding. Okay. It's also going to have bearing upon your other decisions, right? When you were making other decisions in life before you became a Christian, now somebody once drew a picture on the board where, you know, there was a little circle and, you know, wrote me inside, right? And then all the other things around you, right? Life, work, blah, 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 school, whatever it may be. And then when you become a Christian, you're not in that little circle anymore. Right? Now, Jesus, God, are in that little circle, and you're like a little moon going around Jupiter. Right? So, and what does that mean? It means that you're not living for yourself anymore. We can't simply do our own things to satisfy our own wants and desires. Matthew 28, some of you are very familiar with this, right? Verse 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given me in heaven and earth. Right? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what role are you going to play in that great commandment? Are you going to be the guy knocking on doors, the lady, you know, knocking on doors, or how is it? What's your role in that great commandment? So these are things that you need to reflect. So first choice, choosing Jesus, very important, right? The rest of them don't really go in a matter of importance, but that one does. Right? That's the first big choice to make. Okay. Next one is a career, right? Even from a worldly viewpoint, choosing a career is pretty important. You know, the job market's always changing. The wrong choice could change, affect your life and lead you to financial ruin, right? Or fiscal hardship. But more importantly, a bad choice could really affect your soul, right? It could have a negative impact on your soul. And I would say that more than hardship, that's what you need to guard more than anything. So your choice of job needs to be congruent, right? Is that, that's the right word, but be reflective of your decision to follow Christ. So more importantly, right, that choice of a career can have a lasting effect on your marriage, your family, your service to God, right? And it's real simple, right? If you turn over to Matthew chapter 6, how do you go about making that decision, right? This is what Jesus is talking about. Hey, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Right? Turn over to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. And he says, you need to make a decision? There you go. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Okay? So, first thing, I have a habit of always relying on me first, right? First thing, I play out the decision in my head and all that over. But as Christians, right, we really need to reflect on our decision and how, and are we seeking Christ first, right? Is this what, you know, who are those bands? What would Jesus do? Is this what Jesus would want me to do? Okay? So, very important, okay? All these things will be added to you. And then it even says in verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Doesn't mean don't plan for tomorrow. Doesn't mean, you know, sit on your porch and wait for somebody to bring groceries by in order to feed your family. Right? We still have an act to play. We still have a role to do. But don't be so concerned and heavily burdened. You know, some people are just worried for us. Alright? Anyway. So, make that choice to honor God first. 1 Timothy says it best. You know, everybody talks about, well, how much, you know, what's the first question we always ask somebody when they're going to get a job? How much are they paying you, right? And then you read all these gurus who talk about being happy on your job, and they say, well, you know, if you make money your first priority, you know, that's not a good way of picking a job. You'll never be happy with your job. Well, guess what? I think they got that from 1 Timothy, right? 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting verse 6. Says, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Wow. But we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. If we have food and covering, with these we shall be content. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil, of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Right? Without raising your hand, but I'll see a smile on your face. How many of us are happy just with food and shelter? I didn't think so. Right? It's a challenge. It's a challenge. Right? But clearly, the scripture says, hey, you got food, you got shelter, you know, be content. Okay? Because guess what? We probably got more food and more shelter than, you know, half the world. Maybe a third of the world at least. Okay? For the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Right? The love of money. And I thought about that, and when you read about that right away, you start saying, oh, rich people, right? Rich people, blah, 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 blah. Always want money. But then I look at the poor people. Some of them, that's all they look at. Look at it. Money. Money they don't have. Money they want to make believe they have. And take what little money they do have and spend it on sneakers, spend it on clothes, spend it on this image. Right? That's just as evil to me as a rich man who's being, you know, unfair in his practices. Right? That to me is just as bad. So, and that's why the scripture says the love of money. The love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Okay? All sorts of evil. Alright, so we're talking about choosing a career, right? Not money. So don't make money your first focal point when choosing a career. Right? So choosing Jesus, choosing a career. And I'm sure as some of the older men will agree with me. And at this point, you have no choice but to agree with me. Okay. Choosing a wife, or choosing a mate, for me it would be a wife, for a wife it would be a husband. Alright? But choosing a mate is probably a great decision that you will make that's going to determine to a large extent your happiness in life. Alright? In 12 verse 4, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of a husband, but she who shames him is like rottenness to his bones. Now, I didn't go out specifically targeting the women, but that could be the same in, you know, in reverse of looking at men. A guy who refuses to go out and provide for his family, a man who is a drunkard or whatever, it's a shame to his wife, just the same. Okay, so when choosing a spouse or choosing a mate, you want it to be reflective of your Christian values. Okay? And so I'm assuming I'm talking to the kids on this one. Right. So it's going to have a permanent bearing on your children and their emotional well-being as well. Alright? And you know, the world says, well, you know, you don't get along with this one, you just get divorced, blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't know, probably quite a few of us in here have experienced family members or know of people who've gotten divorced. Have those divorced people seemed any happier now that they got rid of that person who was such a pain? When I look at the people that I know, I say no, right? And especially if you have children involved, well, guess what? You're dealing with all the same issues as a married couple, except now you're not married and you're in this. So you just complicate matters, right? So that's why it's really important to pick that spouse who is going to be reflective or lead you and help you stay in Christ. So Malachi has some great verses on divorce. And let's go ahead and turn to that, Malachi chapter 2. Okay? I mean, we think, you know, of course, the United States has an over 50% divorce rate, but it's been happening since the dawn of man, right? Malachi chapter 2, starting at verse 14. Yet you say, for what reason? Start 13. This is another thing you do. You cover the Lord with tears, with weeping, or with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering, or accepts it with favor from your hand. Yet you say, for what reason? Right? What have I done? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously. But she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Okay? But no one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. For I hate divorce, said the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with thorns, said the Lord of hosts, so take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously. I'm sure as it is the same with those in here, whenever I had a family member talk to me about divorce, I would always say, do whatever you can not to. Whatever it is, yeah, but. Whatever it is, yes, but. Whatever it is, just try not to. Do it all you like. It's never as good as they try to put it across. Okay? So, we looked at choosing Jesus, choosing a career, right? Choosing a mate, choosing friends. Choosing friends, right? Having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. Okay? Somebody that you can rely on when there's issues or problems, someone to talk with, you pick up the phone, right? But Scripture also looks at some other aspects of friendship. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity, right? And you can put sister in there too, right? Because what do kids do? What do children do? Right? Always fight with each other. Always fight with each other. But when their friends go, oh, hey, Chico, Jesus, we're BFF. Right? Everybody's a BFF. Okay. But there's some truth to that, because even as adults, we kind of do that, right? We have some BFFs that are in Zachary and our bloodline. So we have to be careful with the friends that we choose. And I'll say, you know, I always, when I have non-Christian friends, I usually don't get surprised when something goes wrong. Well, I'll leave it at that. All right, so, but the wrong friends can be a curse, right? The wrong friends can be a curse. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, you know, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals, right? Don't be deceived. Don't fool yourself. Nobody's that strong. You hang out with dogs, you're going to get fleas. That's it, right? The kids are getting of age where they can start to hear my jokes and understand it. So, I know some of you have heard them before. If it's not broke, don't fix it. Proverbs 12:26 says, righteousness is a guide to his neighbor, but wickedness leads him astray. Right? So, a good neighbor, a good friend, somebody who's righteous, would be the best neighbor and friend that you have. But somebody who's wicked would be a problem. Okay? So, choosing your friends, be careful when you're choosing your friends. Choosing where to live, right? Look at Lot. We look at Lot's choices, right? Turn over to Genesis chapter 13. I think Lot really gives us a great example when doing this, right? Genesis chapter 13. Because at first glance, when you look at Lot's decision, you say, yeah, the guy's pretty smart, right? We're going to read chapter 13, verse 10 through 11. It said, Lot lifted up his eyes, and he saw all the valley of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And the land was like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. So Lot chose for himself all the valley of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other, right? So how bad of a decision is that, right? Lots of them got sheep, right? Water, grass, look at the area. It's beautiful. Why not? Why not, right? Sounds like a great decision, okay? And then we read, why not, right? Verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, exceedingly, and sinners against the Lord. Okay? And guess where Lot was moving? Right? Right next door. Who were his neighbors? Right? Guess what happened with Lot? Eventually, his tent kept moving, so he traded in the tent, right? It's like the Beverly Hillbillies, you know? They hit oil, and they go to Hollywood or whatever it is, Beverly Hills, I guess, right? Okay? Same thing with Lot. He traded in the tent. He's in the big city now. He's a big city player. Okay? Look what happened to him. Right? We all know the story. Upon what basis do we choose where to live? Right? Is it solely based on a house that we can afford? Is it based on a location to work? To school? Based on the location of church, where we're going to worship, right? Do we consider whether it's going to help or hinder our service to God and His church? So there may be some modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah that we really need to avoid. You know, and I like to pick on the big cities, but guess what? There's a lot of little towns you should avoid too. Okay? So be careful in those decisions. So, we're going to go ahead and we'll move on to suggestions for making wise choices, right? In James chapter 1, flip over there with me, in James chapter 1, we're going to have some suggestions. How do I go about it, right? I have all these dumb decisions that I make. What do I do? Am I destined to continue to make silly decisions, unwise decisions, bad decisions? James chapter 1. And verse 5 says, okay, it says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without doubting, For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Okay? So, when we go to God, we want to pray wisdom. And maybe some of you have experienced that. As parents, you kind of get this. And the older you get, when you have to go buy stuff, you know, if you could close somebody or reject a salesman. And so, you know, as kids, when they come on, such and such, this dress or this skateboard, and you know, it's not like really a solid can I have. It's just like one of those annoying can I have. It's like I go with the other 10 can I have for the day. You know, it's like, no. And that's simple, right? Not like that. Right? Well, God's saying, well, don't be like that. If you're going to ask for wisdom, ask for it like you expect it. Okay? You remember being a child. You remember when you really wanted something? How many times did you ask for it? Was it once? Maybe once an hour. Right? And that's the same way that we're supposed to seek wisdom. Consistently, constantly. God, help me to get better. Asking for wisdom requires diligence. In Proverbs chapter 2, my son, you will receive my words and treasure my commandments with you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godliness. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. Okay? I wish some more judges would read that Proverbs. Right? But for ourselves, we need to read that proverb and study it. So, two great sources of counsel, right? I'm sorry. So two great sources for counsel, right? Is asking for wisdom in the Bible, all right? And there's also another great source for counsel and acquiring wisdom. And that's from all the Christians, right? From all the Christians. And also from other people who have experienced whatever your question may be. In Proverbs 11:14, it says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Right? This goes hand in hand, right? With choosing friends, choosing where you work, right? If the President of the United States surrounds himself with clowns, what kind of decisions are they going to make? Right? Foolish decisions. If he surrounds himself with wise people, what kind of decisions will he make? Wise. Same thing with us, right? When we're running our lives or trying to make decisions, we have to have people who are wise around us. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Okay? I know kids don't like to listen to their parents, right? But there's plenty of other folks that they can speak to within the church that they listen to, right? They always seem to like to listen to other people's parents. Yeah, right? I don't have the answer for that. I don't know why, but it seems like they're easily more authoritative than their own parents. But and even with us, middle age, you know, we have older people, right? More mature people have experienced things that we're going through. We should always counsel with them. All right? So, making wise choices, first off, we ask for wisdom, ask for advice, and finally, commit our choices to the Lord. Alright? Trusting that we make choices pleasing to Him. Put our choices in His hands. Turn over to Psalm 37, 5 and 6. It says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heaven. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mountains of God. Your judgments are like a great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. Oh, and I read the long verse. Psalm 37. Who's man and beast have to do with this, right? Psalm 37. Commit your way, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. And over in verse 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteousness forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. That goes hand in hand with that first choice. Choosing Jesus, right? Making that right decision. That goes hand in hand. When you're making your choices, and sometimes you know we're going to make a bad choice, and we may fall, right? He's there to help us up and to help us get back up. Alright? So we need to commit our choices to the Lord. And James chapter 4, 13, 15, there's a story about the guy. Oh, I've had a great harvest, right? I'm going to take my harvest. I'm going down south. I'm going to build some barns first. Stick all my harvest in there. And then we're going to go have a fiesta, good time, party, right? The scripture says, you fool, you don't even realize. Tonight you're done. That's it. You're not even going to make it to the party. Okay? We don't know. That's why we need to commit our decisions to the Lord. One might even ask the Lord that if a choice is not according to His will, because sometimes we don't know exactly what His will is, we'll ask, frustrate the decision. Right? Whatever it is, He'll always show us His will eventually. Okay? So, suggestions for making wise choices. Ask God for wisdom, ask others for advice, and commit our choices to the Lord. What happens if we go ahead and we make bad choices, right? If we make bad choices, we need to learn from our mistakes, right? Do what Lot eventually did, okay? Eventually did. And pull in the means to get Lot out, right? But eventually, he heeded and he fled, okay? He heeded and he fled. He heeded the word of God. Alright? So do what you know to be right without reservation. Now, who in that story has some reservation? Right? That was Lot's wife. It wasn't because she was like, oh, I just want to see the fire. Right? And that's salt. No, that's not what happened. Right? She had reservation. That's what that whole looking back at Sodom was getting destroyed. Okay? It was that reservation in her heart, and that's why she got turned into a pillar of salt. Okay? So, do what you know is right, and do it without reservation. Right? What about Peter? Peter made some bad decision. Remember that rooster crow? Right? He denied Jesus how many times? 3 times. This was a guy who was recruited by Jesus, lived with him, right? Saw miracles, right? Just fed 5,000 people with one fish and a loaf. I mean, come on. Right? Even after seeing all those great miracles, look at the mistakes he made. But what did he do? You know, with the time that he had left on the planet, he served the Lord. What about Paul? Paul, of all the people, he made some decisions maybe out of ignorance. Okay? But certainly, Paul had the greatest excuse of anybody to say, oh no, the Lord will never forgive me, right? Never forgive me for the wrongs that I've done. Turn over to 1 Timothy 1, chapter 12. Excuse me, 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. And Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in my belief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant, but the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. Yet for this reason, I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So if you had to think of somebody who definitely deserved destruction, right? Who definitely didn't deserve to be forgiven, not in our estimation, right? Who else would be better than Paul, right? Here he is, he's killing Christians, right? He's doing all these, first of all, he's killing people, now he's killing Christians. This guy's out of his mind, he's out of control. And look how Jesus and God reversed that, right? Used him as the greatest example. With all the bad choices he made Paul probably one of the greatest workers for Christ. Okay? So we need to repent of our wrongdoing, correct our wrong decisions, determine that we're going to live for the Lord to the best of our ability. Accept the forgiveness that Jesus provides, just as Paul did. Alright? I love Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. It says, you know, forget what lies behind. Let's read it. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. I'm sure my paraphrase won't come out as good as the verses itself. Philippians chapter 3. Right, 13 and 14. It says, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? So important to have that attitude, right? If we look at our past and we look at the bad decisions, even after we've accepted Christ, and we reflect on all the things that we do wrong, how are we going to move forward? Right? How are we going to move forward? We won't be able to. So what's being said here is look forward. Forget about it. You can't keep one eye in the back and drive forward. Right? You ever see somebody drive a car like this? Although my wife thinks I do sometimes. Okay, but it's impossible, and it's impossible to live life that way. You can't live life looking in the past. You have to look forward towards the goal, the prize, of being with Christ in heaven. So the wrong thing to do then, responding to bad decisions, the wrong thing to do would be to continue in that decision because of pride or some other reason. And the wrong thing to do would be to wallow in self-pity, right? Because of a bad decision. Right? Neither one is productive. Right? So conclusion. Hopefully, you know, we've had some examples of Lot and David who taught us the importance of making wise choices. Right? And David did make some really wise choices, but we're looking at the bad ones today. Okay? Serving, and it serves as a warning for us not to make our decisions lightly. Whatever they are, don't make them lightly. Okay? May we ever be open for wisdom from God, counsel of others, right? As we make such choices in life, as our careers, friends, spouses, and more importantly, right? That first decision that we need to make is following Christ, right? And becoming a Christian. So if anybody today wants to go ahead and move forward with that decision and start making wise choices, godly choices that you know are going to be right and you don't have to second guess, right? make the first choice of obeying the gospel and following Christ as we stand and sing our invitation song.